Now, throughout the week, we've been hearing the testimony from the Special Criminal Court, where Gerard Hutch has pleaded not guilty to murdering David Byrne at the Regency Hotel in 2016. The court has been hearing Garda recordings of bugged conversations between Gerry Hutch and the former Sinn Féin councillor Jonathan Dowdall, who's already been sentenced to 4 years for facilitating the murder. Our crime correspondent Paul Reynolds joins us now to look back on the evidence so far this week. And Paul, give us the background, how the car came to be bugged and how these two men came to be travelling together after the Regency Hotel murder.
Well, Anya, the former Sinn Féin councillor Jonathan Dowdall's car was bugged by the Garda National Surveillance Unit. We heard that a tracker was put on the car and that listening devices were put inside the car. And for 3 days this week, we've been able to hear their conversations, the two men speaking, the radio, listening to Drive Time, listening to other radio programmes. And they were very, very much aware of current affairs and the news. We also heard that the PSNI were carrying out surveillance in the north. Now, they drove north on the 7th of March 2016 to dissident Republicans in Strabane, whom they wanted to meet, the Kinahan organised crime group, to mediate in the ongoing Hutch-Kinahan feud. Now, Hutch and Dowdall can be heard on those recordings speaking about a peaceful process when they were approaching Lisburn town centre. Hutch said he wanted to see what these are willing to do. Dowdall says it's terrible to see Union Jacks flying in Ireland. And then we hear that Hutch and Dowdall meet three men in a lane in Strabane. Afterwards, Dowdall isn't very happy with it. He would have preferred a meeting in a hotel or an apartment, he said, somewhere less public. However, we also hear a man with a northern accent on the recordings reassure Gerard Hutch after the meeting with, quote, the Northern Command. The man says to him that there's no grey area. They're looking after you. They're looking after your family. The implication being that the dissidents, and there was a reference to the CONTOs, the Continuity IRA, are on Gerard Hutch's side. On the way home, Hutch says he believes that Daniel Kinahan, one of the leaders of the Kinahan organised crime group, will meet the dissidents. Hutch is heard to say, I'd say he'll meet them in London.
What was said, Paul, about the guns allegedly used in the Regency Hotel murder and also about explosives?
Yeah, we heard talk which the prosecution says refers to the three assault rifles that were used in the murder of David Byrne at the Regency Hotel. We heard that Gerard Hutch wanted to give those to dissident Republicans in Northern Ireland as a present. Hutch was heard telling Dowdall that, quote, these three yokes, we're throwing them up to them either way. There's a present of these three yokes, throw them up there to them as a present. He also said that he had to push someone to, quote, get them out of the village. Now, that we understand is a reference to Buckingham Village, where the prosecution claims the hit team met up on the morning of the murder of David Byrne. Hutch is also concerned about, quote, the yokes being traced, because he's heard to say on the secret recordings that, quote, 12 months' time, there's two RUC men dead there, and them things are ballistically traced. Dowdall also said to Hutch about the guns, the best move you did was, I know it's a small thing, I don't know if you thought of it, Gerard, at the time, I certainly didn't, but the best thing that happened was the particular yokes that was used. That in itself made some effing statement. Ah, massive statement, Hutch replied. Anyone with cop on would know immediately that the cops don't use them.
What was said about the Garda investigation, Paul?
Well, in relation to the murder at the Regency Hotel, Gerard Hutch says he didn't think the Gardaí knew who was involved, and he dismissed reports in the papers as speculation. Dowdall says that the newspapers, quote, don't have an effing clue about the Regency. I don't think the police know what is being portrayed in the paper, but they're saying we know who the six people are. And Hutch replies, they don't know. Sure, the effing six people don't even know. No one effing knows. The people that were there themselves don't effing know, apart from the man and the woman. Now, we understand that's a reference to photographs that were taken that day, which show a man dressed as a woman and another of the gunmen, the late dissident Republican Kevin Murray from Strabane, who was seen carrying a gun. Hutch also added that, quote, the cops are going round like headless chickens and that loads of F-ups have been made about Daniel Kinahan, who was the target of the gunmen at the Regency Hotel. Hutch says, Daniel looks in an effing heap in the photographs I've seen of him in the paper. And Dowdle replies, "Jared, let's be honest. You're used to pressure from the cops. I'd be like that if some C came in with an AK-47 and I got out by the skin of my effing teeth," Hutch replies. "If he wasn't in an awful way, I'd say he's totally disturbed." Dowdle also tells Hutch to be careful with Kinahan, Daniel Kinahan, being home. Now, we know that Daniel Kinahan was back in Ireland after the murder of David Byrne because he attended the funeral. "I don't know. £1 million, is that what they said is on you now?" That's what Dowdle says to Jared Hutch, referring to a reported ransom on him. And Hutch replies, "Yeah, that's what was said in the paper." And then he laughs. The $1 million man.
What was said about Sinn Féin, Paul?
Yeah, they talked about Sinn Féin and the IRA, and they weren't very happy with the leader of Sinn Féin, Mary Lou MacDonald. They talked about distant Republicans, the late Alan Ryan, the real IRA leader in Dublin, and his brother Vincent Ryan, who was shot dead in the feud. They talked politics. Dowdle talked about how Sinn Féin would be, quote, stupid not to go into coalition, and that they can't sit back and, quote, can't sit back and throw their toys out of the pram. Hutch agrees. Hutch says, "You have to go with what's in the best interests of the country, not what's in the interest of your party. It's easy for Sinn Féin to sit back like Labour and say that's wrong." That's what Dowdle says. Dowdle also talks about the Sinn Féin TD, Eoin O'Brien. He says he's very good, and that his partner, only he doesn't use the word partner in the recordings, is, quote, Yerwan Lynn Boylan, who we know is a member of the Shannon, and that in reference to Eoin O'Brien, he was the one that made a stand. Dowdle also talked about an incident where he says he was called in by a man in Sinn Féin who was accompanied by another man who had been convicted of offences in the north. Dowdle says that man was quiet while the other man asked questions. He said that he was asked about a situation that had developed and that the Sinn Féin man told him that they had to be concerned in case things about Dowdle and the incident appeared in the media. Dowdle criticised the party leader Mary Lou MacDonald for not attending the funeral of Jared Hutch's brother, Eddie Hutch, who was one of the victims of the feud. He's referred to in the recordings as Neddy. She didn't attend the innocent man's funeral. She was on the telly the night Neddy got shot, and she branded everyone as scumbags. She said they're all scumbags. That's what Dowdle's heard to say. But yous were good enough to use Gerard for votes. Yous were good enough to use for money. Mr. Dowdle also says that Miss MacDonald should have stated that it was untrue that Gerard Hutch is involved in drugs. But Hutch replied that, quote, "They tried to keep away from dodgy subjects at a dodgy time. There was enough," and they use the S word here, "with the effing Special Criminal Court and Slab Murphy." Now, Slab Murphy, that's a reference to Thomas Murphy, who was convicted of tax evasion in the Special Criminal Court, and Gerry Adams had called him a good Republican. Hutch also says that the convicted Garda killer, Pierce McCauley, who was also an IRA man, is a friend, and that he and Pierce go back a bit. Dowdle then replies, said, "Pierce said all along, if you ever needed, Pierce would ring them, and all if you want, Gerard."
I'm over time, Paul, but just to say in conclusion, the three-judge court, they have still to decide, don't they, on the admissibility of these recordings?
Yeah, I mean, Senior Counsel Brendan Grehan submitted, he's representing Jared Hutch, that the authorisation for the bug was unlawfully issued, that the use of the bug was illegal, that the material gathered from it is inadmissible, and that Jared Hutch's constitutional right to privacy has been breached. He also said that the recordings, because 8 of the 10 hours of the recordings were made in Northern Ireland, they're out of the jurisdiction. They cannot be used in the trial. So he said the use of the bug outside the state is not permitted by the Act. Now, the application is being opposed by the state. We'll hear more detail in relation to defence objections today and the response by the prosecution. And the three judges will then decide whether or not the material we heard, including that material over the past 3 days, can be admitted as evidence.
All right, Paul. Thank you for that. Our crime correspondent, Paul Reynolds.